You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
Good afternoon and welcome to Overdrive. I am Matthew Cause filling in because the boys of Overdrive, they went overtime on today's show. Excellent job by them covering the 2019 Toronto Raptors NBA Championship Parade and Celebration. And let's face it, on today's show, we are going to be doing a balance between keeping you up to date with what happened. And for people that are just tuning in, there was an incident. There was a shooting at Nathan Phillips Square. I'm just going to read you from the Toronto Police, their Twitter account. Nathan Phillips Square, Bay Street, Albert Street. Police have located two victims. Injury serious, but not life-threatening. I think that's the most important part of this tweet. Two people in custody, two firearms recovered, investigating. And listen, first and foremost, the entire focus goes on the two people that are injured. And the focus from there goes on everyone who was close to it. And we saw a lot of people running from Nathan Phillips Square. And it's a scary scene. You get thousands of people all packed up, and then suddenly they go on the move. That's when people get hurt. So that is first and foremost the concern. On the other side, you know, you just feel bad for the players. Today was supposed to be a day of celebration. We got to see them all up there on the stage. Some of them maybe for the last time, celebrating and speaking their heart out. Instead, we got just, and rightfully so, you know, the mood changed. And by the way, shout out to Matt Devlin for doing a great job when the news came down of being calm, explaining to people what was going on in the best he could because he couldn't have been super specific, and just in a very calm voice. That's what you want. You don't want to incite any sort of fear. So fantastic job from him. Fantastic job by the police and everyone a part of that situation. You hear the idea of a shooting, an incident, when there's going to be 2 million people within a couple kilometers. That could have been far, far worse. As for the day itself, I mean, it started out great. I mean, and I don't know if people were seeing on social media, we got to see old video of the Toronto Blue Jays parade from 1992. And it was so different. Then it was all the Jays just in cars and convertibles. Now it was double-decker buses. It was Marc Gasol just going nuts, spraying the crowd with champagne. Saw some great photos of Kawhi Leonard, of Kyle Lowry. I mean, those guys deserved it. I think probably the highlight for most of the Raptors was probably the first hour, even on the delayed parade, because just that's when they were whooping up the most. That's when they were having fun. At some point, we're going to need to play the Norm Powell spraying champagne on Cabbie. And I give Cabbie credit. He did a very good job of just keeping it together. Also, a shout-out to Akil Augustine. And we'll try to play you the sound as well. Akil Augustine earlier had about a minute 15, minute 20-second interview with Kawhi Leonard. And the entire interview is basically just how you doing, how you feeling, how great is this? He could have gone hero journalism a la Doris Burke and peppered him with free agency questions, but he didn't. So I appreciate that. Just make it fun. Just have a good time. Now, I think, if this is correct, Mullen, do we got the Kawhi Leonard laugh? Okay, so this was basically at the end of, and this is the first time, Mullen, I think first time you and I have worked together. I don't know if I'm more or less of a diva than the other guys. We'll find out together. But here is Kawhi Leonard at the end doing his laugh.
Enjoy this moment and have fun with it. Aha, ha, ha, ha.
Good for him. And the funny thing is, that's fine. It's not hilarious. But because it comes from Kawhi Leonard, it's like an A+. See, that's the better one. Okay, so that's the original one. Play me the one now that we just heard from Nathan Phillips Square, where he's being just very self-deprecating. So you heard the real deal, and then there was this.
Aha, ha, ha, ha.
So not bad, not bad. I think we were all expecting something like this. Also, if you missed it, John Torrey. By the way, is this the last time John Torrey gets to wear that jacket? gets to wear the Raptor jacket. Like, that thing must be grimy by now. You see him on CP24 every day. He's got that jacket on. But he gave the key to the city to Kawhi. And then Torrey did a good job. I mentioned it's not just for Kawhi, but it's for the whole team. And it's for their effort as well. Now, I was talking about who the MVPs were of our coverage. First, the guys from Overdrive. Carlo Koliakovo is one of the MVPs. All the producers, the behind-the-scenes people as well. But then the other one, the secret most important person today, was Brett Hull. Was Brett Hull because of his celebrations with the St. Louis Blues. And no better, like, I mean, we'd play this sound for you anyway. But because it was the Raptors celebration and it was time for the Raptors to, you know, fully, you know, acknowledge their championship, it just gives us another excuse. Here's Brett Hull just addressing the crowd for the St. Louis Blues Parade.
The Stanley Cup for this city. There is nothing more they have to do. So instead of saying, let's go Blues, we're going to say, we went Blues.
Now, I fully recommend to everyone, when you have some time tonight, if you haven't seen it, go watch that video. Because the best part of that video is in the background, all the cheerleaders. Because they could not be more confused. At the start of it, they're like, yes, the legend. All right, get us pumped. What's he saying? I don't know. Do we cheer? Yeah, just cheer. Just cheer, and hopefully he won't make eye contact.
Gloria, I think I got your number. Gloria.
I cannot hear that enough. If we want to put that on the loop for next hour and 15 minutes, I am totally good with that. All right, coming up on the other side here on Overdrive, again, I'm Matt Cause. The guys will be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock. They were working from like 10 to 3:30. They were working a long day. On the other side, we'll play some of the best sound and some of the key moments from this parade, from the celebration, and any more updates that we can have from the shooting that happened at Nathan Phillips Square. We will give you the latest. That's all coming up. I'm Matthew Cause. You're listening to TSN 1050. A tweet from someone named Matt. And it's not me. Hi, I'm Matthew Cause. Filling in for Overdrive. Brian Hayes, Jeff O'Neill, and Jamie McLennan will be back tomorrow. Guy writes in, Matt, if you're feeling a bit claustrophobic downtown and would just like a big, empty, quiet place to decompress, there's a Jays game at 7 o'clock. I enjoyed that tweet. So we don't get a lot of time in this one just because the clocks and everything a little bit screwy today because of the Raptors celebration, the parade. We will give you any more information when we get it about the shooting. Again, there have been two victims. Their injuries are serious but not life-threatening. Two people in custody, two firearms recovered. That from the Toronto Police. But one of my favorite parts of listening to this coverage was listening to the heroes that are Jamie McLennan, Brian Hayes, and Jeff O'Neill. They were there for many more hours than they thought. They sounded like they were very hot and sweaty. And Jeff O'Neill was incredibly jealous about the food, water, whatever was with James Duffy and the TV side. Producer Mark Mullen, how do you think the boys were doing when the mics were turned off?
Oh, was probably absolutely miserable, as is tradition. Hayes is pretty much a trooper. Jamie's the glue guy. Yeah. He doesn't complain about much. Yeah. Hayes is a trooper on location.
Yeah.
But he would have been just inconsolable.
Especially if he sees like James Duffy and he's got like a little fan and they got food. And the best part was someone stole Pringles and like wine gum from the TSN TV set and snuck it over for the radio guys.
Well, you know how O always likes a good free feed.
Yeah, yeah.
So he'd be looking for anything he could get his hands on at that point.
If the guys are listening, just to make it better, we were fed here. There was pizza and we've had Uber Eats.
He probably had nothing down there. He's going to be furious if he's hearing this.
By the way, Jeff, if you are listening, I hope you're at Harbor 60. I hope you should treat yourself. You guys did a fantastic job today. I mean, we're going to make fun of you, but that was a damn good job. You deserve the finest cut of Kobe beef at Harbor 60, wherever that you want to go. But on our end, we're full. Like, we had pizza, We ordered Uber Eats.
Stuffed.
Delivered. Yeah, like literally, I could go in a food coma. You know, I'm glad we got to go. So I'm going to try to jog some of that off because we got a couple hours. We're going to have a couple.
Little six minute nap.
We're hoping to get Siobhan Morris on from News Talk 1010, Bruce Arthur. We got a bunch of guests to react to everything from today and talk big picture Toronto Raptors. I'm Matt Cause filling in. This is Overdrive. The boys were on from like 10 to 3. So Jeff O'Neill, Jamie McLennan, Brian Hayes back here tomorrow at their normal spot. I hope the three of them right now are being fed as they're getting massaged and cooled off all in one. Again, we will give you any more information from the shooting at Nathan Phillips Square. There was two injuries. They are serious but not life-threatening. And there have been people apprehended by the police, and two weapons have also been found. When we get more information on that, by the way, Siobhan Morris from News Talk 1010 is going to join us in about 4-5 minutes' time to give us the latest of what happened at Nathan Phillips Square and what is going on right now. But I want to go back. I want to go back to earlier in the parade because I divide the parade into three parts. One, the first couple hours, joyful, celebration. And we were all stunned by the size of the crowd. Then it kind of turned into, wait a minute, this is going on way too long. When are they going to get to Nathan Phillips Square? And then the third part, unfortunately, was the shooting, which the people at the front had no idea about because it happened like in the back corner at Nathan Phillips Square. But I want to go earlier. Akil Augustine, who has done work, is an NBA TV Canada host, and was doing a lot of work for CTV and TSN. He was on the buses, and he got a chance to chat with Kawhi Leonard. And I thought this was just a really nice, it's about a minute or so long. It's a very just joyful conversation with the best player in the NBA, Kawhi Leonard. Have a listen.
First off, I want to ask you this, Kawhi. Your impression of the city of Toronto.
It's amazing. Everybody's out. I believe nobody went into work today. All right, I got the first little hours of that day off, but look at it, it's crazy.
All right, now, for you, this has been an epic ride. I'm just curious, at what point in the season did you realize this group had what it takes to win a championship?
From the beginning, from training camp. You got to instill that in everybody's mind and let them know we all focus on one goal so everybody could come into the season with the same mindset and focus.
Okay, two more before I let you go because I want you to enjoy this. The first one is, what has been the last few days been like with the travel and the celebration?
Man, the last few days been amazing. No sleep, a lot of celebrating, and we're gonna keep going.
Now, understanding what you've been through, is this or how different is this championship from ones in the past?
Man, it's a different unit. Different organization. I'm in a different city, different country, and I'm older, and it makes it that much better.
Well, on behalf of all the Torontonians and Canadians that watched you this year, I just want to say thank you for everything you did, and especially for the way you carried yourself.
Thank you, Toronto. Thank you, Canada, for the support. We did it.
I mean, compare that to what you heard during the actual speeches, because by the time the Raptors got up on stage in Nathan Phillips Square, they'd been on those buses for hours and hours and hours on end. So that sort of drains the energy out of you. And then when the players and everyone up on that stage knew that there were two people injured and that there was a shooting at Nathan Phillips Square, that is going to totally suck out a lot of the energy. How could it not? Now, as for the parade itself, I think one of my favorite moments, Kyle Lowry doing his best. He got the crowd to start chanting 5 more years at Kawhi Leonard at one point. And it's crazy for us because all of us, we're all watching the coverage here. Because we had a plan here at the station. We thought everything was going to be wrapped up by about 1:30. We were only off by about 2 hours or so. And you could see it because they didn't have barriers. That was the major issue. There was no barriers on Lakeshore, on University. So it slowed everything down because you got to move the crowd away. But the aerial shots were just so impressive. I've never seen that before. I've lived in Toronto my entire life. I'm 44 years old. I remember the parades in 1992 and 93. By the way, I've been enjoying the videos of it, seeing a very young Vic Router in the crowd, you know, as the Blue Jays in their cars. going up and celebrating. And those crowds are still big. Make no mistake about it. But it doesn't compare to what we saw this afternoon. We're now going to go to Siobhan Morris from News Talk 1010, a reporter. Siobhan, thank you so much for joining the show.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
So, by the way, it's insane to think when I go onto your Twitter feed, you have one about a joke about street meat, and then two tweets later, you just write two words, I'm okay. First and foremost, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. I just started getting so many texts from coworkers and from my parents and, you know, other members of my family wanting to know if I was okay in those panic moments that you are seeing when so many people, of course, are paying attention to this parade. Into this rally at Nathan Phillips Square. So I'm just fine, but it was very confusing. And I got to say, my heart kind of dropped when I saw this stampede of people move from the east side of both Nathan Phillips Square and Queen Street as well, move from the east side towards the rest. You could tell running from something that they were very obviously terrified of. And we now know those were gunshots.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know how much. I'll just update from what, you know, we got from the police Twitter account is that it was around Bay and Albert Street. Police have located two victims. Serious injuries are serious, but not life-threatening. Two people in custody, two firearms recovered, and the police are still investigating. That was, you know, from about an hour ago. That tweet was sent out. I was just wondering anything else you can add to that.
No, but I was just speaking with some of the people who are closest to this when it happened, and those are a lot of camera guys because they had their trailers with all their equipment set up very close to where this happened. And to give your listeners a sense of where this was exactly, if you are going southbound on Bay and you're looking to make a turn, you know, to go west on Queen, that little gap where you'll have pedestrians cross and you make that turn, that's where the shootings happen.
Okay, so just outside of Nathan Phillips Square, it wasn't on the inside of it.
No, it wasn't, but you get a sense talking to the camera guys about why there was so much panic that spilled into Nathan Phillips Square. So their trailers were protected by these big fences, and people pushed those fences so they were flush against the trailers and started scaling them, trying to get away from the gunshots because they were so panicked. So you had people climbing over those fences, then running into Nathan Phillips Square, and they're just running as far west as they could. And so that sort of explains why there was a panic in the square, even though the danger itself was not in the square.
Yeah, and when you have, like, just what it, that's such a dangerous combination of you've got so many people in such a small space. Also, a lot of people have been up for hours, so you might be a little bit tired. And then a gunshot and then confusion and people running in different directions. In some ways, it might be odd to say, but this could have been far worse.
It was. I mean, we know that a couple people were injured in this, and at least one of them had a head injury, had to go to hospital. But I've seen a couple other people who said, I was so scared. I talked to one man who scraped up his knee, dropped his phone, who just said, you know, I had to move. I had to get the heck out of here. And so relatively speaking, the fact that we didn't hear about more people getting trampled in this panic to get out of here is grateful for it, and it's somewhat remarkable.
Yeah, absolutely. And what is the scene? What is it like there now, Siobhan? And again, we're joined by Siobhan Morris from News Talk 1010, and they've been doing a fantastic job on our sister station for full coverage of this. How is it now?
I think you're seeing a lot of people sort of linger in Nathan Phillips Square and on Queen Street, and not so much on Bay, but it's filthy. And you do see some of the things left behind in that chaos trying to get away.
Yeah.
There's a woman's red ballet shoe, which I'm going to guess she didn't intend to leave just one shoe behind. But just right now, a lot of garbage. And police, of course, trying to figure out what happened with the shooting, are going to be picking through that garbage to sort of piece the story back together. And because we know there was going to be such a hard time getting people out of the store, both in terms of traffic, if you're driving, and we know there's been capacity added at the TTC, but I think if you know that it's going to take a long time to get home, you're probably in not much of a hurry to get out of here, knowing you're going to be sitting on a platform waiting or sitting in a car for a long time. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people just walk for a couple kilometers away from Nathan Phillips to it thins out a little bit. Last question. In all your times covering events in Toronto and elsewhere, have you ever been in a more crowded area than what this afternoon was in downtown Toronto?
I have not. And I had to tell you, you know, I was really trying to get to the thick of the crowd to, you know, that's where the energy is. That's where you want to be. That's where the people who have the best, most exciting things to say, and they're the most passionate fans. and it did not feel safe in a lot of instances for me to try to get at them. I'm only 5 feet tall, so, you know, it can feel very overwhelming for me in a big crowd. We heard from one of our hosts earlier today that, you know, there were people passing out. There were people just, we know there are people drinking too much alcohol, not drinking enough water, being exposed to too much sun. So all those things in combination, you know, made things a little uneasy towards the back of the crowd even.
Hey, Siobhan, I really appreciate you joining the show and giving us some perspective from exactly what was going on in Nathan Phillips Square. Thanks for joining the show today.
No, you're welcome.
That is Siobhan Morris from News Talk 1010. And, I mean, yeah, it's the contrast between the early part of the day when it was just all fun and celebration to that moment. And I know I'm doing the same thing with a lot of other people. We don't want to make it about us, and we don't even want it to be about, oh, I feel so sorry for the players and the coaches, because this story is first and foremost about the two victims. It's not life-threatening, but it is serious injuries. And other people who got injured and freaked out, and, you know, if you were there. And I know that section of Toronto, just right at that gap at basically at Bay and Queen. But as for the players, it did. It felt anticlimactic. I mean, we have all the interviews that the players, you know, the players gave. And we'll play for you at some point. I think we'll play the Kyle Lowry one. I mean, that one is going to play at some point. But, I mean, if we're going to lighten the mood, there's only one place, Mr. Mark Mullen, that we can go to. It's the Kawhi Leonard, who, let's face it, this entire year, so much of the coverage of Kawhi Leonard has been about one thing. It's been about that crazy laugh he did during some of his opening press conferences with Toronto, you know, 8-9 months ago. I mean, that, you know, that's been used 1,000 different ways. And every way, it's great. And here's Kawhi Leonard at the end acknowledging, yeah, I know what's going on social media.
Enjoy this moment, and have fun with it. Aha, ha, ha, ha.
So that was Kawhi Leonard. Actually, if we can get it, and I'll give you guys a little bit. This was in, we were talking about playing this earlier. Jack Armstrong talking about his first impressions of Kawhi Leonard. He did it on First Up this morning. And a shout-out there. Michael Landsberg, Carlo, they were down at Nathan Phillips Square from 6 to 10. And then Carlo, being the trooper that he is, he stuck around. Like, he was part of the Overdrive crew. And, I mean, is he, you know, he said, no, I'm not a hero. I just couldn't leave. And he was saying it was his first time being there. He's like, yeah, so is this where the skating happens? I mean, we're all shocked to hear that. But anyway, here's the coach, Jack Armstrong, on his first impressions of Kawhi Leonard.
The first day at practice that I sat in and watched practice for a few days, he blew me away with his work ethic in terms of, you know how you do drills, and he's the first in line on drills, and, like, he's going, like, 100% game speed, where other guys are, like, going, wait a minute, this is how a champion operates. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm now on the ice with Mark Messier, you know? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, this dude's a champion. This is what a champion does.
And it's true. I mean, you saw it from the beginning of training camp. And, I mean, if you think about how Kawhi Leonard played this year, was there ever really a change? I mean, there was one little dip where Coach Nick Nurse came out and, you know, actually had to call him out a little bit to the press, to the media, about how he needed a little bit more from Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi actually respected it. But the Kawhi Leonard that Jack Armstrong saw on that first practice, that was the exact same one we saw in the regular season, in the playoffs, refusing, you know, to give knucks, to give a dap to Norm Powell. And by the way, Norm Powell, if we can get that sound, Norm Powell dumping the champagne on Cabby was absolutely hilarious. Also, needs to be said, was there anyone that worked harder today than the Raptor mascot? Because today was actually one of the first real hot, sweaty days. And there he was, like, throughout the parade, you could see it. Throughout the parade, he's standing on cars. He's leading cheers. He's jumping. He's trying to get the crowd on one half of the street to yell one thing and the other half to yell another. I mean, that guy had to be just sweaty as all crazy. And then all throughout the day today, I know everyone was thinking this. Who is going to be the Brett Hall? who was going to be the Brett Hall of the Toronto Raptors. And we might have had our answer. Here's Norm Powell, and this is near the end of an interview he did with Cabby. And we're keeping some of the pauses in on purpose because it all leads up to Cabby getting champagne dumped all over him.
We NBA champs! That was Norm Powell, NBA champion. And will probably take my job at some point. Back to you guys. Oh, hold on. Oh. Normie, how could you, Normie? How could you do this to me, Normie? After everything we've been through. I do not deserve this, Normie. But I forgot my goggles.
Payback. Payback for all them annoying interviews you be doing. It all paid off, baby.
Now, as we were playing that, producer Sean Lavery brought up a good point. We heard from every starter but one. The one starter we didn't hear from was Marc Gasol. And all you got to do is just go on Twitter. You don't have to be an investigative journalist. All you got to be able to do is correctly spell Marc Gasol on Twitter. The first thing that comes up from Bleacher Report, Marc Gasol is chugging wine on the parade bus. And I've just watched it, and I can tell you right now, it is a bottle of rosé. Where it is from in terms of country of origin, I cannot tell you. But there was lots of reports of just, he was the guy celebrating the most on the bus. And there were shots of him taking another bottle of champagne and spraying the crowd. And just him dancing goofy. And yet, he was the one guy who didn't speak. And we've heard Marc Gasol speak. He's a very eloquent man. We have seen the features of Marc Gasol doing wonderful things, being on rafts off the Mediterranean coast, helping to save migrants who are trying to get to Europe. I mean, this man is a hero. This man is so smart. And this man today was drunk. Because good for the players. The Toronto Raptors, they were good teammates. I don't know whose decision it was, or maybe it was Marc Gasol's, to knock it up there and speak. Because, listen, a lot of us, I'm not saying everyone listening, maybe a lot of you listening have better self-control than I, but all of us have been as drunk as maybe Norm Powell, maybe Marc Gasol, maybe even Brett Hall. But the difference is we haven't then had to get in front of an audience. You know, we haven't had to get in front of hundreds of thousands of people with a mic. Because when that happens, it sounds like Brett Hall. So I think the Raptors were protecting Marc Gasol so he didn't sound like this.
The Stanley Cup for this city. There is nothing more they have to do. So instead of saying, let's go Blues, we're going to say, we went Blues.
I don't even know what that is, but it's so good. All right, I'll tell a quick story before we go to break. I remember I was at a wedding. I was in my mid-20s, so I'm in prime dum-dum age. And there was a gap of many hours between the end of the ceremony and the reception. So between the ceremony, a bunch of people, some friends came over, you know, come over to my place, some drinks. Then we go to the reception. The open bar was for 2 hours. And when you're in your early to mid-20s, an open bar is a joyland, a place you never want to leave. It's Willy Wonka for, you know, for booze. So it got to the point where I would just look at my friend. He'd look at me and we'd start giggling. And then we'd go and walk up to the bar to get another drink. Flash forward to a couple hours later during dinner. And the bride and groom had a little mini putt thing set up. And if you got a hole in one, the bride and groom would kiss. Instead of, you know, tapping your glass or you know, having to sing a song to make the bride and groom kiss, all you had to do was get a hole in one. So the same friend and I, we go and we attempt to get a hole in one, but we're drunk. It takes us maybe 20, 25 takes to finally get it. So my friend Dave, he gets the hole in one. And then I bellow out like I'm Brett Hall, hole in one, and my arms are outstretched to the heavens, yelling, hole in one. There was only one problem. The father of the bride had been speaking for about 3 minutes.
Gloria, I think I got your number. Gloria.
So everyone stops, record scratch, looking at me and my friend Dave as I'm yelling, hole in one. Father of the bride had to stop his speech. So to the Toronto Raptors, who protected Marc Gasol, good job. Coming up, we're going to try to get Bruce Arthur in a couple minutes. Josh Lewinberg, our TSN 1050 Raptors reporter, around 6 o'clock. And Bobby Marks at 6:25, ESPN NBA front office insider. Anthony Davis is a Los Angeles Laker. LeBron James is someone to play with. That is huge news. We get into all of that and the latest update from Nathan Phillips Square from the shooting that happened earlier today. Any updates, we will give them to you. You are listening to Overdrive right here on TSN 1050. I am Matthew Cause, filling in for the guys. Welcome back, everybody. This is, I was going to say game day for a second. This is Overdrive. I'm Matthew Cause. Why? Because we cannot let Jeff O'Neill, Jamie McLennan, and Brian Hayes go from 10 o'clock to 7 at night. There is, I mean, actually, I would like to have seen that because my favorite version of Overdrive is Crabby Angry Overdrive. And I think by the 6 o'clock hour, it just would have been the guys hitting each other with microphones. But they did an absolutely fantastic job, as did on the morning show with Michael Lanser and Carlo Colaiacovo. We've been doing parade coverage since 6 a.m. The latest we can tell you about the shooting, and this comes from Wendy Gillis. She is a crime reporter from the Toronto Star. Toronto police just told me that the police don't believe there's a threat to public safety right now. Shooting situation was dealt with very quickly. Two arrests. Two victims were quickly found and receiving medical attention. Nothing confirmed coming from Eaton Center. Because there was all these reports, was there a shooting at Eaton Center? Could have been fireworks. We don't know. But what we do know is that when you get that sort of panic, that's when, you know, you start speculating. And I get it. When you're in the middle of all of that emotion, things go wild. And I can give you one just really tiny example. Years and years ago, my cottage burnt down. And again, this is one kabillionth of the severity of what happened today. But a bunch of propane tanks exploded, and it sounded like this real squealing noise. So everyone around thought, you know, someone's dog was in the fire. Because why? Because everyone was freaking out. So if there could be that panic for something as small as what happened to me years ago, just imagine what it was like at Nathan Phillips Square, at downtown, at the Eaton Center. And again, we hope that everyone else is fine and safe. On a bigger picture, this does take away. It takes away from what today should have been. Today was supposed to be pure celebration, pure excitement, and more than anything, just acknowledgement. Acknowledgement of what these players have done, the coaching staff, the medical staff. What the Raptors were, that's a championship team. That's what a championship team looks like. You know, they dust Orlando after that weird game one. I've been arguing Philadelphia might have been the scary, you know, far scarier team than even Milwaukee when you think of the talent there. I mean, consider this. The LA Clippers, who were blowing up their team, they traded Tobias Harris to Philly. Tobias Harris was probably the fifth best player on that 76ers team, and the Raptors beat them. And they beat them through the power, so much of Kawhi Leonard. Like, that might have been when we saw some of the peak Kawhi. Then they win four in a row to eliminate the number one team, the Milwaukee Bucks, with the regular season MVP, a team that had the best scoring differential, a team that had the most wins by double digits. Milwaukee smacked everyone around. And, you know, think about, they smacked around Detroit in four. They let Boston win game one, and then they blew out the Celtics in the next four games. What do the Raptors do? They beat them in six. Then they won three games on the road in Golden State. And yeah, there was injuries there, but that's also still an incredibly talented team. Go through the NBA. You find me those teams that have as much talent as Golden State. Steph Curry, Draymond Green, all-stars. You had Klay Thompson for the majority of that series, all-star. DeMarcus Cousins, issues with turnovers, but he had two or three really good games. Andre Iguodala played well for stretches. That is a championship team, and today should have been the day to celebrate it. And the day started that way. I mean, think about how much fun we were all having. We saw plant guy number two. There was a second plant guy there. Also, we found out that plant guy one, the original guy wandering around on Thursday night, holding, looked like he, you know, he stole a cactus from a Ramada Inn. That eventually the plants got to Kawhi Leonard. It was great. It was hilarious. I see someone else with a sign that said chips or chips and dips guy. And he had chips and dip in honor of Drake in his post game on Thursday. By the way, I love the fact that Drake has a post game. He's not even a member of the team. So that was fun. Seeing a guy with a sign that said Weed the North. Hilarious. One of my favorite moments, this Twitter account from an assignment coordinator with Global News. And the caption, the picture, was of a guy's ankles. And on one of the ankles was an ankle monitor. You know, the kind you have to wear when you're on parole. And the caption is, when you're on house arrest, but the Raptors are in the parade. And then someone pointed out that next to ankle monitor house arrest guy, you could see a couple people in, you know, what looked like dress pants and more sensible shoes. So it's probably the parole officer. That right there was hilarious. Kyle Lowry getting the crowd to chant five more years when him and Kawhi Leonard passed by. Loved it. Hearing Jeff O'Neill talk about the only food they had was Pringles and wine gum that they stole from James Duffy and Lisa LaFlemme's TV set. I mean, we were all enjoying that. I mean, I can go on and on. Someone made a homemade DeMar DeRozan sacrificial lamb jersey. These were all the things that we were celebrating and enjoying. Hell, for the first while, we were making fun of the city of Toronto for just how poorly they had organized this parade. And I will say this throughout. We in this society, we like to complain. We like to bitch and moan. That's what social media is for. We like to be, you know, we like to second guess. I will not rip the city of Toronto entirely for just how slow this parade was and how disorganized it felt. No one could have expected the full 2 million. But what we could have expected was there was going to, at the very least, be hundreds and hundreds of thousands, close to a million people. And according to Newstalk 1010, two. Where were the barriers? Overdrive, we're talking about barrier guy got lit last night. And, you know, that was the person that really failed today, was barrier guy. That would have been the easiest way. The only thing, the thing that was missing today was crowd control. Crowd control on University going northbound. Crowd control on the lakeshore before from exhibition. Now, I'll say this to everyone who didn't go to Nathan Phillips Square but were on University. You got to see the players a lot because it was going so slow. For a lot of you, you got probably the most energetic version. If you were lucky enough, you got champagne sprayed on you by Marc Gasol. But that, to me, was the shame, was because of the delay, which took away the momentum from the stage. And then, far more importantly, there was the shooting at Nathan Phillips Square. Two people injured in that shooting. Not life-threatening injuries. We'll get more into that. Also, I want to play you... I want to play you Kyle Lowry, his speech. I thought he did a good job considering the circumstances. But we're joined now from the Toronto Star, Bruce Arthur. And I can't believe I'm going to start my second interview the same way I did the first one. How are you doing? Are you okay?
I'm perfectly fine, Matt. Thank you for asking. I was a very minor part of what turned into a bit of a scary day in Nathan Phillips Square today. I mean, I'm down on Yonge Street right now. There's people walking over right now. It still feels like the city, so I enjoy that. I just hope that the people who have what were described as non-life-threatening injuries, I hope that's the truth. I hope that's what happens.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, we go, oh, this is a shame. It took away from the Raptors. But first and foremost, like the headline is making sure that those people are okay and anyone else who might have been knocked down. What can you describe what was it like where you were when, you know, because people were running in and out of Nathan Phillips Square. There's always going to be chaos when you have that many, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in a small geographical area. Can you describe what was it like for you?
Yeah, so I was on the East Catwalk as part of the CTV and TSN broadcast. I was up there with a bunch of media. There was a bunch of other family members there. There were Raptor staffers there. So we were in an elevated position on the east side of the square. And what happened is you look south as Larry Tannenbaum was talking, and you saw at the south end of the square, people started to run. And when you have that many people jammed together, and the square was jammed, as we saw all over TV today, shoulder to shoulder, when a crowd moves like that, it lurches, and it's dangerous. And I talked to someone just now who got run over. People get trampled. It's a really terrifying situation. The people were running. So I ran down the catwalk towards wherever this was happening. There were people running up Bay Street on the east side of the square as well. There was a person down who was receiving medical attention right on the southeast corner. I talked to someone who said they heard four shots, which turns out to have been accurate. At that point, police started to clear away from both the injured party and from the corner of the catwalk. They were trying to get people as far away as they could, and did a terrific job of that. I went back to the other end of the catwalk, and what happened then was a little bit different. So you look east from there, and there's Eaton Center at the end of the block. People started running on that street. I don't even know what it is. Pardon me. It's a block east of Bay. Started running away from something there. Then people started running out of 483 Bay Street. So I don't know exactly what happened there. And then at some point, people ran away from the Eaton Center, and cops ran in. So there was a lot of chaos on that side of the square. There was yellow police tape going up. People tried to get away as far as they could. And some people were still listening to the speeches. There's two big screens set up on Bay Street. Some people were still watching the speeches as this was all happening. And Larry Tannenbaum is talking about how this is a great day and how the Raptors have united Canada. And Nick Nurse is saying, you know, the world needs more Canada. Well, we got it for you. It was a surreal juxtaposition of two worlds that were entirely separate and colliding in the same place. And I'm quite grateful to the way police handled this. There was a minimum of panic from them, as far as I could tell, but there was a great difficulty in controlling the crowd and getting into the crowd all day. I thought there was organizational issues from what I could see in terms of how this thing was planned. But when stuff got really serious and dangerous and real, Toronto police did, as far as I can tell, just an absolutely terrific job.
Yeah, and it was bizarre because if you were where the Canada sign is in Nathan Phillips Square, close to the stage, a lot of people, you know, they heard it first from Matt Devlin, or they would have seen it on their smartphones. But it was almost like there was two worlds in that little ecosystem of celebration, the one closer to the stage and the one at the back.
Well, yeah, and the Prime Minister is sitting on stage, right? The Premier of Ontario is sitting on the stage. The Mayor of Toronto is sitting on the stage. Beyond all that, This was, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, I'm on the catwalk, and I'm telling kids and their moms to get down, because they're just to get down behind the concrete catwalk, because police are telling us to get down as this is happening. And then the people behind us on the ramp, there was problems all day with the east side of the square, because people were jammed in a really small space next to that curving ramp that goes up towards City Hall. So police were actually pulling people who were having panic attacks, little kids, women with strollers. The two people in wheelchairs, with God bless the crowd, by the way, they lifted them up and got them over the barrier and onto the ramp. I thought some people did an awesome job today in trying circumstances. I mean, the Raptors were 3 hours late getting there. It was a hot day. People were passing out in the crowd. People took care of each other from what I could see as best as they could. So in that moment, I was telling people behind me to get down, because there were people on the ramp who were higher than me on the catwalk. So I just told them to get down and kind of made a mime of a gun. This is my first ever active shooter situation. So I didn't really know what to do other than kind of tell people to take cover, because that's what I was being told. I mean, it's just the moment passed relatively fast. And on the stage, like, this was a crowning moment for a franchise and a city. And to me, that's what this is about, is that, like, this took away from the city.
Yeah.
Right? This is a great day for Toronto. And what Larry Tannenbaum said is true. And what Nick Nurse said is true, is, like, this team united the city in a way that very few things ever did. Right? Like, this city is a place where a lot of people come together from a lot of different places. And we don't always agree on stuff, and we don't know, like, especially in this country, in the city. And the Raptors are something that people could really rally around. And today was supposed to be a great day. And I mean, it still was for a lot of people. I talked to a couple kids leaving the square who had no idea that anything had happened, and they had an awesome day watching the Raptors, even though they had to wait 3 hours in the heat. But I'm just glad that everyone kind of got away as safe as they could from today. I'm glad that the police did the job that they did, and I'm glad that that a lot of people still had a great experience on a day, which is, I mean, it's not real life. It's not the most important thing in the world, but the Raptors made people feel really good, and I think that's something that matters.
Absolutely. Bruce Arthur from the Toronto Star joining me here on Overdrive. And you know what? The first shame of it all was that there was no barriers on the streets, on University, to keep the crowd back, to allow the parade to go at a more normal speed. I thought that took away from it as well. And the one thing we were robbed of, who is going to be Brett Hall? And we thought it might have been Norm Powell. We thought it could have been Marc Gasol, and Gasol didn't speak. And by the way, you know, if I was one of those players and they gave me a mic, I absolutely would have been Brett Hall in that moment. We are robbed of our Brett Hall moment.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is with a parade is it's a really fun day. Everyone loves a parade, right? Like Kawhi being given a cactus, I don't know what you call that, and Marc Gasol chugging wine, and like Norm Powell having a day, and like these guys are people, again, who made the city feel really good. And I was surprised by a lot of the planning. I'm not a parade planning expert, but I know that most parades have barriers on the side of them. I mean, it looked like Tour de France cyclists going up one of those really narrow, impossibly narrow moments in the crowd, except that they did it reference. Across the city.
Yep.
There were people who noted that a lot of the parade route was inaccessible by transit, which means it's harder to get people spread evenly across the parade route. And in the square, there just wasn't enough control. Like those three arches in Nathan Phillips Square, people climbed them. There was no security at the bottom of one end of them.
Yeah.
So people climbed them and danced on top. All it would have taken was one person to fall off down into the crowd, and police and paramedics would have had an enormous deal of amount of trouble getting to that person or getting to the person that they fell on. And you had people up there, like right next to each other, dancing and having a lovely time. We're really lucky that nothing happened there. We're really lucky that, again, as I said, some people in the crowd helped people who were having panic attacks or who were suffering from heat stroke. I saw at least one near unconscious woman taken up the stairs onto the catwalk to safety. But again, the people who lifted two wheelchairs out of the crowd and onto the ramp are heroes. It was amazing to watch. So there was a lot of good stuff today, and this should have been a day that was kind of unmitigated fun. And so you get the kind of penny ante, this could have been organized better complaints, which I think are genuine complaints. As we've been saying in Toronto, plan the parade for how long, and it turns out it's harder than it looks. And then you get the stuff that's real life stuff, right? The stuff that does happen in the city, that does happen occasionally in this country. It happens more in the country south of us, but it does happen here, where someone's got a gun and there's a lot of people in one place. And this was a day that should have been just great. It should have been a day that was perfect for people in Toronto. It wasn't for a lot of reasons, but I'm just glad that there was still enough joy in the city and in the streets and in the square that there was at least some of that, you know?
Hey, Bruce, I absolutely agree. I got to let you go. And more importantly, I was reading your tweets of what was going on, and the police were saying, get down. I'm glad that it could have been far worse. And like you, hope for the two people that have serious injuries that they're okay. And I'm, you know what? You're my friend. I'm glad you're okay as well. I was worried for a second when I heard about that. So I'm glad you and the majority of people are okay.
Me too, buddy. Thank you.
Take care. That is Bruce Arthur from the Toronto Star. Coming up, we got Josh Lewenberg. We got Bobby Marks. Also, we're giving away, we'll do this soon, we're giving away a pair of tickets every day this week and next week on Overdrive to see the Rolling Stones. That's going to be fantastic. All right, so we will get into that. And as I promised, we'll play Kyle Lowry's speech on the other side as well. I thought he did a really good job. You know, he got a great applause. I think Fred VanVleet might have got one of the best, might have got one of the largest applauses and cheers from the audience today. So we'll get into that. Any other updates from the police, from the injuries, from the shooting today at Nathan Phillips Square? As we said, we will give you all updates on it. But the latest is that the police are saying that the public is safe right now. Shooting situation was dealt with very quickly. There was two arrests. Those were done quickly. Their two victims were found, and they're receiving medical attention, and they do not have life-threatening injuries. And when you consider at one point there was 2 million people in a very small area, this could have been far worse. It could have been far better. The best case scenario is today, all we're talking about is the celebration, the rightful celebration for the Toronto Raptors. We'll try to get more on that in the next hour, and we're giving away tickets to see the Rolling Stones. I'm Matthew Cause, filling in for the boys. You are listening to Overdrive right here on TSN 1050. All right, you're going to have to wait a couple minutes before we do the Rolling Stones ticket giveaway. The Stones coming to Burrells Creek on June 29th. We'll do that in the 6 o'clock hour. Josh Lewenberg will join us, as will Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider. Anthony Davis is now a Los Angeles Laker, and that changes everything in the West. And that does have an impact on the value of Kawhi Leonard. With Kevin Durant out for a year, Klay Thompson looks like he'll be out for a year as well. And now Anthony Davis off the market, it puts that much more focus on Kawhi Leonard. I'm Matthew Cause. You're listening to Overdrive right here on TSN 1050. The boys will be back tomorrow. But fantastic coverage for them. And first up, all down at Nathan Phillips Square today. Now, are you feeling hungry, Raptor fans? Are you feeling as hungry as Jeff O'Neill was at 2:45?
Check out anything.
Check out the Uber Eats app for a special Parade Day promo code. Just like the Raptors delivered, Uber Eats delivery will slam dunk your hunger with a champion-worthy deal from your favorite restaurants. Even if you didn't make it down for the parade, your celebratory meal from Uber Eats is available all day. Hey, you deserve it, Raptor fans. Absolutely. And the ones who went down for the day, you still hungry? You guys absolutely deserve it as well. Making history can make you hungry. Uber Eats, official meal delivery partner of the 2019 NBA champion Toronto Raptors. Ready? Let's eat. And unlike Overdrive, we had Uber Eats here. We also had pizza. I don't know why those guys are complaining about being hungry. We could not have been more full. Wanted to play for you earlier, so let's get to it here. Kyle Lowry. And what I loved was when Kyle Lowry came out, it was great seeing him holding the Larry O'Brien trophy. That was a fantastic moment, a deserved moment. Here was his victory speech earlier today.
First and foremost, I want to thank all the fans that we have out here. Give yourselves a round of applause, because we wouldn't be doing this for you if it wasn't for you guys. So give yourselves a hand. I'm not gonna stay here too long, but this group of guys, coaches, general manager, president, board of governors, this is a small knit group, and we did this together. We fought every day. We practiced hard, we worked hard, and we just kept our faith. And at the end of the day, y'all always gonna be my brothers. Always. And we are now world champs together. And that's all that really matters. But I wanna thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate it. It's been a long time coming. And thank you guys, appreciate it.
Thought he did a fantastic job when you consider the amount of extra hours on the bus, being out there in the sun, and then far more important than any of that, the word came down that there had been a shooting. Now, the players up there, they didn't know much more than that. And again, a shout-out to Matt Devlin, who had very little information. He's the guy emceeing this event. Hundreds of thousands watching live, millions watching on TV, and he's got to do his best to be professionally responsible, for also, you know, not wanting to incite any sort of nervousness in the crowd, trying to keep things calm. That man was juggling a ton there, and he did a fantastic job. An incredibly difficult moment that you are not trained for as a broadcaster, to interrupt Larry Tannenbaum to say, hey, everyone, I'll give you more information. There's been an incident, and you could tell by the tenor of his voice, we knew immediately it was serious. So great job by the Toronto Police. Great job by Matt Devlin and everyone else involved. And yes, today we'll be critical of the City of Toronto and the planning for the parade. It basically goes like this. The Toronto Police, A+. The people without barriers, an F. Everyone else somewhere in the middle. I'm Matt Cause. This is Overdrive.